because Mr. Chupon is El Stupido. We fucks Zors did it up the podcast. Super oops.
Yep. Stupid Chupon is a real turd. Anus. So we will go straight into what have you been playing? Epic Pwn Edge. Root. Root.
And after a technical bullshit, we're going to do what we've been playing as usual. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
He wants to go first now.
Tony, go first!
Okay, I've been playing nothing. Ow!
Ow, what have you been playing?
Oh, goodness gracious. I've been playing Smash Brothers Brawl.
Smash Brawl!
And unlocking characters. I have 28 out of 35.
Cool.
And just unlocking stuff and playing against my friends.
Cool.
Loads of fun. Loads.
Got Snake yet?
Yeah. Snake. Snake actually has this pretty cool special thing in Shadow Moses Island. Mm-hmm. And if everyone who owns a copy who's listening to this who hasn't tried it, should try it. If you do your taunt, I think it's the down taunt, like in the lower left corner of the stage, before mm-hmm. the wall comes down, you do that like repeatedly, he'll actually go through a transceiver conversation with someone about one of the people he's fighting. So I was playing against a friend of mine, and he was Snake and I was Samus, and he went in the corner, I let him do the thing, and then he puts his hand to his ear, and all of a sudden you see the big green transceiver thing at the bottom of the screen covering like half the screen, and then he's talking with Otacon.
Mm-hmm. Otacon,
like,
who am I
fighting?
The nerd.
It's like I'm fighting this person in this big power suit over here. He goes, oh, power suit? Oh, that must be Samus. And he goes through this whole history on Samus.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then he, like, talks about all the other people, stuff like that.
Wait, it's going on while the whole action's going on, right?
Yes.
Okay.
While the action's going on.
So that could be interrupted at any time.
No, it's not interrupted at all. It goes through in its entirety. While
you're fighting. While you're fighting. That's funny.
So please tell me you can't do it twice. Just to interrupt, sorry, but please tell me you can't do it like three times in a row.
I don't know. It's hard enough to do it the first time because
okay.
you have to sit there and do the taunt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah, if you want to do it the second time, the person will just
You do it, basically. Or they have to be fighting with each other and you kind of sneak off to the corner and do it.
Colonel, I'm fighting against some fairy boy with a fruity sword. What the hell is he? Colonel. Oh, God.
Yeah, by the way, why did that guy look like Troutman from fucking Rambo, you know, in the Metal Gear Solid, what was it? Yeah, Metal Gear Solid. Why do you look like Troutman?
I don't know who Troutman
Anybody
is.
Anybody know who Troutman is?
No,
who the fuck is that?
Is that old?
Yeah, I guess
is
so.
Rambo 2?
No, I just never saw Rambo, that's all.
Rambo!
Rambo! Go continue,
I played a little bit of WoW, but much less WoW than Smash Brothers. And I'm trying to play Phoenix Wright, but my job sucks, so I can't really do it.
Yeah, that blows.
Playing at work.
Yeah, obviously that's a really stupid comment. Like, my job sucks, I can't play video games at work. But, you know, gotta watch my video games, asshole. And I think that's it. I can't think of anything else I was playing. I think I played Orcs and Elves for like 3 minutes yesterday while I was waiting for food to be made.
I just lit another match. I don't know why, but go ahead.
Okay. What'd you light a match for?
I don't
know. Gas problems?
So,
playing the cat. That's it. Just playing the cat.
So, Tony, what have you been praised over?
Actually, I want to reiterate. I may have been playing something, but it's probably embarrassing to even talk about. I went on Adult Swim mm-hmm. and played Amateur Surgeon. 5 minutes to kill yourself.
5 minutes to kill yourself is pretty good.
I laughed a lot at 5 minutes to kill yourself, but I managed to get it down to like a minute and 59 seconds.
Oh my goodness! Science.
And let's see, the amateur surgeon, I guess trauma center on crack. it's pretty fun.
Copyright infringement.
It's pretty fun, but they're gonna hopefully add more versions to it. But that's all they've been playing because since it's a casual game that you could pick up at any time, I have now become a casual gamer because I have no time.
Oh, no.
No!
Oh, no.
But I promise you, this week...
Plus you make money.
Huh?
Make money.
This week, God of War. What's the other one? Ponton?
Patapon.
Patapon.
Shut up. Yeah, I'm going to pick up that. God of War and hopefully Devil May Cry 4.
Patapon. Patapon. Al, what you been playing?
I already said that.
Al, what you been playing?
I already said it.
Al, why you look like the chick from Scary Movie?
Why do you look like a scary movie?
Boo and double boo.
Hey, listen, my wife liked that. She knows.
Anyway.
Triple boo. Well, I guess you had to recite that for her since she might not have been in the room last week when you said it. So I'll give that a pass.
She Austin, was there.
What?
Have you been playing any games this
week? Let's move on to the news.
Austin!
Tony.
What you been playing?
Let's move on to the news.
Awesome.
Sync up. Just kidding. I was actually playing, what's that thing called? Hotel Dusk, which I started last year.
Uh-huh. Mine's still in a shrink wrap.
At around the same time. And I looked at the save file, and the last time I had picked it up was July of last summer. So I was just like, wow, I have a lot of things to catch up on because I almost completely forgot where I had gotten to.
What is it about?
It is actually, if I describe it, it sounds really boring. it's basically a point and click adventure game that is actually not it has a first person environment in it, so like you can kind of see the environment through the first person through the eyes of your protagonist, but otherwise it's generally point and click. It does the same things where it throws really stupid puzzles your way and all that stuff. So it's the premise is this guy was a cop and he had to shoot his old partner because his partner turned rogue, and then you see evidence of him turning up later somewhere in this stupid hotel, and you have to find out why he was there and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, it sounds really boring. You actually have to sit and play it to understand why it's not boring. But the puzzles – the last time I talked about this game, which was in June, I was talking about how they set up the environment and everything, and – you know, it's still cool how they have it set up where you can see the first-person view of your map, but on the touchscreen, it's an overhead view, so you can actually just tap where you want to go, and he'll walk. And meanwhile, the left screen, well, it's really the top screen, because you hold it like a book.
Mm-hmm.
So the left screen just moves your view like any first-person game. And then you can choose to look at anything of significance and, you know, change the angle of what you're looking at. So that you can blah, 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 blah. It's... I explained this already. So, anybody who wants to know how this plays, go listen to... Go a couple months back. I don't know. Whatever. But I think what's really disappointing to me about this game is that the puzzles are just, like, asinine. One of the puzzles was literally a jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
I mean, come on, you know?
Fun with jigsaws.
Yeah, you know, I could fucking break out a regular puzzle for that. You know,
oh, wait, it wasn't like a slide puzzle. It was an actual jigsaw.
No, it was an actual jigsaw puzzle, and there's nothing wrong with jigsaw puzzles, but, like, you know,
no, not
I expect,
at all.
I expect
it's done right.
It's not that it wasn't done right, but it's like, I expect something else from a game. I don't want to play a jigsaw puzzle if I'm playing a video game. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, like, whatever. And then there are, you know, really. Most of them aren't even puzzles, most of them are tasks. Like. I need to give somebody this item. So you go up to their room and they're not there, and so you talk to somebody else to find out where they might have went. Things like that. So you know what I mean? Like, but not as much puzzles as much as they are tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they still do this whole stupid thing, even though they're better about it. There is this game, this adventure game for the DS called Trace Memory, which is made by the same developer.
Oh, no.
And, Trace Memory had this really stupid conceit where you'd see an item lying there, but you couldn't pick it up until you knew that you needed it. So, just as an example, Tony, let's say that we were, like, the goal in our adventure game was to play, Rock Band, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so to play Rock Band, we needed to find a set of drumsticks. And the set of drumsticks happened to be lying in the other living room somewhere. So, in this fictional adventure game, normally what you do is you'd go find the drumsticks. You talk to somebody. They say, hey, aren't we supposed to play Rock Band tonight? And you say, oh, yes, I think we'd need some drumsticks for that. Then you'd go into the other living room, and you'd find the drumsticks, and you'd pick it up, right? And you'd go back, and then you'd be like, oh, I can play Rock Band now. Now.
Just like real life.
Just like real life. Now, theoretically, if you were to play through this game a second time, you would, you know, theoretically, you should be able to see those drumsticks and say, hey, I remember how this game played out before. In order to reach my goal, I need to pick up these drumsticks. So you pick up the drumsticks without having to talk to the guy saying, hey, you know, I need to get some drumsticks to play Rock Band, right? Like, ideally, you'd be able to pick up the drumsticks whenever you saw them.
Right.
Go into that room, and the guy would say, hey, weren't we supposed to play Rock Band tonight? And then you'd go, I happen to have the drumsticks with which to play Rock Band. Let's play.
Well, I don't know.
I use my legs.
No, just let me finish out, okay?
I am. I'm not saying anything.
No, because you sounded like you were about to jump in there.
I was, but I decided not to.
Good, because this is really annoying how they set the game up. They set the game up really annoying. They set it up such that even if you see the drumsticks lying there, you can't pick it up. You just don't pick it up. Like, it's basically like, oh, these are drumsticks. They look good, and then you walk away.
Well, it's like it's not the action part of, you know, the thing that whatchamacallit, that you could click on to I guess the item that moved the game on. So
right.
No, you find that item, even though that item is right there in front of you. So
yeah, but
it has keys on a desk, and then you got to go to another room to find a key.
Yeah, I hate that though, because it's like in a lot of the adventure games that I've played, it's like something is there, and you pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in your inventory. You might use it. You might not use it. The challenge to any puzzles might be in, like, okay, I've got all these items. Which one do I use? I mean, way back in Space Quest V, like, there is, like, a battery in a crashed car, like an ordnance. I forget exactly what it is that you can remove. And you're actually supposed to remove that. Because the mentality is you just pick up any and everything that you can. And if, in a bizarre twist, of course, I hate how Space Quest handled that, because if you don't pick it up in the beginning, and mind you, this is in the beginning of the game. If you don't pick it up and you make it all the way to the end of the game and you haven't picked it up, you're stuck.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's Gold Sierra for you.
Yeah. Now, that's what I hate. The reason why I think it's, like, really stupid in something like Trace Memory or what I'm talking about now, Hotel Dusk, is because everything is self-contained. In Trace Memory, I don't know if you can move freely back and forth between the environments, but I think you can. And in Hotel Dusk, you're in one hotel. You have access. You get growing access to almost everything at one point. You rarely get locked off from an older point in the game. So, like, in Space Quest, you know, that opening area where the car crashed, you never get to that place again as you proceed through the game. So not being able to go back to get that ordnance out of the car is really annoying. And they might have employed that same logic, like, oh, I don't want to make people stuck. But again, in Hotel Dusk, you can go everywhere and anywhere that you frickin' want if you've been there before. So let me go and pick up the stupid adhesive remover so I have it in my inventory. So that I can remove the stupid label for the stupid old lady who wants the wine bottle label or something. That's one of the tasks. Now, mind you, like I said, it's not as bad as in Trace Memory, because in Hotel Dusk, you're in one hotel. And there's only so many places you can go.
Mm-hmm.
In Trace Memory, you've got a decent amount of places that you can go to. So, you know, it's kind of wide open. Not wide open, but it's kind of open. That's the other thing in Hotel Dusk that may make it sound boring. Oh, it's in one hotel the entire time? Why do I want to play this? But
it's kind of like Resident Evil, huh?
Huh? Why should I play this, Jill Sandwich? But the thing with Resident Evil is that it's got so many areas in the mansion, and this
in
one, it's,
yeah,
in this
one,
it's
one
literally,
hotel.
Yeah. But in this one, it's when I'm saying it's a hotel, it's literally the lobby, the front desk, the back hallway, the main hallway, the restaurant, the bar, the second floor, everybody's rooms, and the roof. That's it.
I'm bored already.
Yeah. So, and you haven't even played it yet. So it sounds really boring, but I think that the hook of the game is that, like, it's the story. You know, it's the story that will keep people playing normally. And for me, because, you know, story isn't that huge for me, even in a game like this where the story is the main part of it, like, it's absolutely frustrating that, you know, these puzzles are so lame and that the guy walks so slow, and you know it just gets on my nerves, which is sad because they managed to turn these stupid mundane shit into a story that you know you managed to care about. Okay. And I just wish that the puzzles had been a little bit better. And then like once in a while they'll throw like a really obtuse puzzle that kind of like you really 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 have to like go to a fac to figure it out.
Oh, like Seventh Guest type shit.
Not well. It doesn't get that terrible, and like I'm just dumb, but it you know it never gets to the point where, like you said, Al, Seventh Guest, but it also some once in a while strays past Zelda, where it's just like kind of I don't know, it's just obtuse. That's the best way I can come up with it. You know?
So it's like
City. I hate trigonometry.
Trigonometry.
Like Zork.
Sort of. I also put in Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, and while it's missing that kind of loose feel of House of the Dead, which is a complaint mm-hmm. that many people have made, mm-hmm. it's still pretty good. I like it a lot.
I've heard good things about it.
It's fun so far.
I want to play. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun so far. It's you know again you play you compare the actual gameplay of House of the Dead to this mm-hmm. like the feel of shooting the gun, and when I say that I don't mean necessarily like. You know, it's the speed. Al, you're playing it too, right? So help me out here. Is it? I feel like it's the speed, the rate of fire, and like, I don't know. There's something. The handgun feels a little slower, and I guess it's because it's a Resident Evil game and it's supposed to.
Well, maybe because they didn't want to make it too arcadey.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But it, you know, by nature, it's an arcade game, so that's really retarded to me. You
okay.
know. But like that, I agree. That's probably what they tried to do. They might try to make it more spooky. But, mm-hmm. Like Al, how would you compare the feel of it to House of the Dead?
You mean in terms of like the action on the screen, or
yeah, the action on the screen is how it feels. Like, never mind the fact that you're not actually holding a light gun. You know, just like how does it feel?
Well, if you compare it to something like House of the Dead 2, I mean, House of the Dead 2 is like 60 frames per second, and this I think is like in 30, and it
really?
Feels slower in general. Because the zombies are like a lot less agile.
Now, why is that? Why is the frame rate so choppy?
It's not choppy.
30's not choppy. 30 is not choppy.
But I'm talking about Dreamcast House of the Dead 2, which ran like beautifully at 60.
Well, you're talking House of the Dead 2, whose graphics in general weren't that impressive.
No,
versus
that's what I'm asking. What did they add to this to make it, does it look?
It looks a whole lot better. Like, between, like, in my estimation, between this and House of the Dead, there's no comparison.
Okay, yeah. Like, the background.
And one would hope that there's no comparison because this is Wii versus Dreamcast.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, did they do the same thing with, like, the remake of Resident Evil where they put, like, background graphics that are just incredible?
Take a look at some of the screenshots. It looks really good. It actually looks pretty good.
Well, I have one thing to mention. Tony, have you played Resident Evil 0 or the remake of Resident Evil for GameCube?
I think that's what he's talking about, yeah.
It's those graphics.
Yeah, it's those graphics.
That's what I asked. That's right. Why... Yeah, oh, okay, so that explains the frame rate. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Though you'd
and
hope,
so...
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that you'd hope, like, if it was on the 360, it would run at 60 frames a second, but go ahead.
So, essentially, what it is the pacing of the game is still kind of slow because, like, I only played the first level, which is the first stage of Resident Evil 0.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in a train that crashes and everything like that. And it looks like they took all the assets out from the GameCube version, just dropped them in here,
right.
Which was pretty cool because it was familiar for me. And as you're moving through the level, it's kind of like creeping along because you don't know what's going on. Like, if you would play the game itself, Resident Evil Zero,
you would be creeping along the exact same way.
So I think that it kind of captures that element there. Yeah, it's like supposed to be arcadey, but I think that it's less running than it is creeping and trying to figure out what the hell is going on here.
Right. Though I will say that, like, in the parts that they creep, I mean, I've never creeped that slow in any Resident Evil game. Like, they do it really slow. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me. Like, it's like, because basically they do it really slow when they don't need to. Like, they're just going, and I understand, of course, it's, you know, again, yes, it is Resident Evil, but, like, there's a point where it just becomes ridiculously slow. It's like in Hotel Dusk. Hotel Dusk, Hotel Dusk, your walking pace. Yes, you're walking. You don't need to run anywhere. But his pace is just really slow. It doesn't need to be that slow. And in Resident Evil, it doesn't need to be that slow. You know, it's like abnormally like okay, I'm gonna move one pixel at a time. I don't need to wait for that.
Yeah, so you want to run and gun.
Yeah, and honestly, quite honestly, like maybe this is, you know, not cutting it enough slack, but if I wanted to creep, I would rather play a Resident Evil game. I'm playing this to shoot zombies, you know? So it's like when it creeps that slowly, that's, and again, I'm blowing this out of proportion. This doesn't mean, oh, this game is a 2 out of 5. No, not at all. I'm just saying that this may contribute to why it feels slower to me. So yeah, I guess it's the speed overall. It's the firing rate of your gun. Mm-hmm. And then it's also it also feels like the zombies, unless you really hit them in the head at the right spot, they take a few more shots to go down than you'd expect. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just trying to describe why it feels different and slower. So like whereas House of the Dead, when you shoot them, it's also the feedback. In House of the Dead, when you shoot them, like shit goes flying everywhere and they're like blah blah blah, you know. And in this
again, Arcady.
Huh?
Arcady.
Right. And in this it's like when you shoot them, they kinda jolt back and they keep coming and there's no like big splatter unless you nail them in the head, in which case it looks really awesome and just goes blah. Now the boss fight, no, that felt nice in Arcady. That was fast paced. So maybe it's just the way that they program their zombies. Could be it.
You're talking the lower progression until you get to the boss fight.
Yeah, the boss fights. Well, I've only done one boss fight so far, but it was pretty exciting. It was pretty fast paced. But like all in all, it's a different game. I recognize that, and I think it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's just that if you're used to House of the Dead, you kind of have to remove yourself and say, okay, just because both of these games have zombies doesn't mean that they're going to play the same. It doesn't mean you should expect the same thing. And by the way, House of the Dead, was it 2 and 3, right? Not 1, 2, and 3, just 2 and 3, Al?
Just 2 and 3.
Yeah, it's coming to Wii at some point.
This month. Next month,
that's
sorry.
Pretty damn good, though.
Yeah, so...
Except for the acting.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's G.
You will pay just as G did.
What is that thing?
Oh yeah, speaking of which, that's another thing that I like Umbrella Chronicles more for is the presentation. Besides the fact that it looks a lot better than House of the Dead, they took the honk. They took the voice acting out of the GameCube game. So I haven't. Al, you can correct me if I'm wrong because I haven't.
Can't.
Oh, how far have you gotten?
To top of the train.
Oh, okay. So you're in the same place I am. They haven't,
Put him away!
What did she say?
Never mind.
Yeah. I've only played the Resident Evil 0
right
part.
Mm-hmm. But wait, hold on a sec. What do you want?
No, I told him to put him away.
Yeah, so?
Sorry.
That's right, you're sorry.
Ooh!
But, you called me a fucker. Should I divorce or what?
No.
Not yet.
But the, not
okay,
yet.
I'll be... Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Please love me. She shook her head. That's it.
The Resident Evil 0 part, like the voice acting, I assume is from the game because it's not like, you were almost a Jill sandwich. So,
you know what would be funny? if when it comes to the Resident Evil 1 part, I mean, I know they're not going to do that because they're probably going to take the assets from Resident Evil Remake for GameCube.
Right.
But
they
I think
just
it would
randomly
be hilarious.
Drop in those lines.
Since you are the master of unlocking.
Yeah, they should drop in those lines, like those just those key lines and nothing else. Like the rest of the game, it's just like you know, when she's getting the Jill sandwich part, she's like, Barry, Barry, it's like, Jill, I'm gonna try to get you out of here. Blah 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 blah. Oh, and then the room stops and it's like,
right.
Oh man, geez, are you alright? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, you're almost a Jill sandwich. Come on, let's go.
You're right.
Like they just drop it in randomly.
You're right.
Or, like, when they're running about the mansion, like, I think I saw Chris's blood in the fireplace. We'll split up. You take the top floor, I'll take the bottom floor. And here, I found this lockpick. You, the master of unlocking, would use this better than I.
I can't go on anymore.
And they should dub it in.
You almost became a Jill sandwich.
They should dub it in like a Chinese movie where, like, they keep the same... you know, lip syncing, but they put in the old one in its place so that it looks like they're doing it a kung fu movie style. So, but yes, Umbrella Chronica, Recommend so far, even though
Recommendica.
Recommend it, yeah, even though I've only played one stage. Let's move on.
Luvonica.
With you best around. La, 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 la. You're the best. We're at the news and
obscure reference.
Yeah. From GamePolitics.com comes confirmation of the obvious. I don't know if you guys remember that story. Well, Al does because Al's the one who pointed me to this story. The old, I think it was a month old story, or maybe 2 months old, from December actually, so it's 2 months old. The story of the girl and her boyfriend beating the shit out of her sister and killing her and attributing it to Mortal Kombat.
No.
So,
you don't remember?
No.
No, he's saying no, it does that's not the reason for why they killed the girl.
But exactly. We
established
that.
That, and they're further establishing it now. Mm-hmm. And here's what GamePolitics.com has to say. Is brutal Mortal Kombat murder, end quotes, lacking the Mortal Kombat part, question mark? Yes, it is. Game Politics readers will likely recall the intense media coverage which attended the December slaying of 7-year-old Zoe Garcia. The young Colorado girl's death at the hands of her stepsister, 16-year-old Heather Trujillo, and Trujillo's boyfriend, 17-year-old Lamar Roberts, quickly gained notoriety as the, quote, Mortal Kombat murder, end quote, due to early reports that the accused killers executed video game-like martial arts moves on Zoe following a session of playing the well-known fighting game. So I guess they shouldn't watch The Transporter either because he does kung fu in that, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But a news report in yesterday's Greeley Tribune calls the Mortal Kombat aspect into question, thank God. Defendant Heather Trujillo – now, someone pronounce this correctly for me because I know I'm bastardizing it.
Trujillo? Trujillo, maybe, yeah.
No, the J is pronounced at the H.
Right, Trujillo's aunt and former stepmother both spoke to the newspaper. Both Henry and Southern said Trujillo was never violent towards her children, and they never saw her use any Mortal Kombat moves. Southern says she thinks Roberts made up the Mortal Kombat story to look tough.
Duh.
Lamar
chose to register as lethal weapons.
Though I question, how does imitating a video game make you look tough?
No. I got a better question. Where in Mortal Kombat did they have a weak-ass fucking opponent that couldn't even fight back and get bloody to fucking death?
The block of wood? Quote, Lamar, test your might. Lamar, quote.
And sometimes you get beaten by that.
Lamar changed her. He was a thief and not a very good person, quote, Southern said. While the Mortal Kombat angle appears to have come from comments made by Lamar Roberts to a police officer early on in the investigation, it subsequently became apparent that the victim and her accused stepsister were part of an extremely dysfunctional family. Well, duh.
Well, duh. No way! No!
Following Zoe's death, her mother, Dana Trujillo, was arrested on an old child abuse warrant from New Mexico.
Wow.
Social service records reveal 20 complaints of abuse directed to... So I think, okay, bottom line, Mortal Kombat...
Your girls are stupid!
Or parental negligence.
Anyway, criminals are stupid.
Yeah. Here's another tragedy that, you know, we hope didn't come true, but I don't know how many people listening remember the, quote, Call of Duty soldier, the guy that disappeared after playing a battle of Call of Duty. Well, the breaking news is that, and this was on March 12th, he was actually found dead.
They found his bike, and he was near his bike. That's weird.
What?
I'm bringing light onto that. Come on.
Oh. No, it's sad. No, don't laugh at the guy.
It's not. It's sad. I'm making light of it because they attributed this to Call of Duty.
No, they didn't.
No,
I don't,
his disappearance. They said that maybe because he was playing Call of Duty, it made him snap.
That was
and
one
disappear.
Of the. Yeah, that was one
That's
of the many. If you remember what we discussed last week,
yes.
No news article sat there and attributed it to it. They said that
he happened to be
playing it and then he disappeared. So maybe, maybe not. We don't know. They didn't say, oh, my God, it was Call of Duty, and now he's in a ditch with a picture of his dog.
In this news article, they don't bring it up, but I'm saying, why did they even come up to begin with? He could have done anything.
Because it was possible. I'm not going to dispute the possibility.
He could have been watching Hazard.
But then they would
but
have
he wasn't.
The Hazard soldier.
But he wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I would have liked that better.
But then he wasn't. He probably would have liked it better too, but he decided to play Call of Duty.
So the bottom line is that the bike didn't kill him. Okay.
No,
but
no,
yeah, let me read this and do
go
him his duty.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Divorce you.
Vehement.
Vehement. This is by Kate Spinner from the News and Tribune.com. Parents of the Clark County native Eric Hall, the 24-year-old Iraq war veteran who went missing in Florida last month, are ready to take their son home. Based on his clothes and his war-wounded leg, Becky Hall, Eric Hall's mother, said she is certain the body found deep within a Charlotte County culvert Sunday at the end of Parton Drive and Highlands Road was her son's.
What's culvert?
It's probably it sounds to me like a ditch. Let's look it up on m-w.com.
Waiting for education, waiting for a new word. Going to use it tomorrow for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, a transverse drain.
A ditch.
So, yeah. This is really funny. Culvert, main entry, culvert, noun. Definition 1, a transverse drain. Definition 2 of culvert is a conduit for a culvert. 3, huh? A bridge over a culvert. That's like saying Tony is defined as Tony.
Exactly. Yep. How do you define a
word?
Well,
the body which houses Tony.
And define it once again with the word.
Right. But yeah, so the long and the short of it is unfortunately he was found dead, and thoughts go out to his family.
Yeah,
that sucks.
I'm not trying to be an asshole about this. I really, you know, it's sad. You know, the guy's been through a lot and stuff like that. I, you know, I'm not trying to bring light to this at all. But I just, you know, have questions as to why they, you know, the last thing he played probably pushed him over the edge. That's not what pushed him over the edge. What pushed him over the edge is, you know, is in his mind, and we can't hear from him. Sorry. You know, that's it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, what was in his mind triggered by what? That's the question.
No, triggered by whatever was in his mind. That's what it comes down to.
But it's okay. It doesn't come from nowhere. Like if he was
well,
watching.
We already ascertained that he was in the Gulf War. So whatever was in his mind.
He was in the Gulf War.
No, he wasn't.
He was in the new one. Sorry.
He's the
Mission Accomplished War.
The Mission Accomplished War.
No, I'm sorry, Gulf War. I'm sorry. He was, you know, in this war, and, you know, whatever happened there, he brought home with him. You can't understand what was going through his head.
Sounds like
no, and you can't either. What I'm saying is that it's possible, okay, that when
anything's possible.
Okay, right, and we have to consider that, and that's why they considered it. I think it's fair enough.
They considered out of the family from observing his actions was that he was playing Call of Duty 4.
That's what I'm saying. You can't understand what the hell was going. You know, he could have been on a brink
right. That
day.
That is my whole.
And he tried to play Call of Duty.
My whole point is that there's a possibility. Okay, and I'm just saying there was a possibility, which is what I think they were saying too. Is that there can be a respond react stimulus between traumatic experience that you've had and something that you see. Sometimes people have memories that, and let's forget about video games or anything else for a second. Somebody has a traumatic memory from their past and they see something that reminds them of it and then they go off the deep end. Maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. And in his case, maybe it doesn't, maybe it doesn't. What I'm saying is that's the reason that I don't have a problem with them saying, well, he was playing this. I don't know. I don't know if this is a cause. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that this is what he was doing. So we don't know.
More likely than not, he saw something over there or was involved in something over there that just pushed him over the edge. That's what I'm saying. You know, it doesn't take, like if you're in war and stuff and you've done nothing, like Hope's father, you know.
Ouch!
No, Hope. Your father's been in a lot of crap. He really has. Okay? Does he bring that home with him? Does he feel like, you know, it pushed him over the edge?
All right, Tony, listen. Hope's father isn't everybody.
I'm just saying he was a war veteran. So
okay.
I'm trying to be levity.
Exactly. That's my whole point. People are different. People react differently to different things.
I understand, but you can't. That's my point. You can't attribute one.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't sitting there and attributing it completely. They're saying, well, we don't know what happened. They're listing the causes. That's it. And I don't think, and I don't have a problem with them listing Call of Duty as, okay, well, this is what he was doing. Okay? That's what they're saying. This is what he was doing. We don't know. That's it. And the reason, I know the reason why you're upset about this is because the Game Life article put it in the headline. But, you know, that's a whole different story. We discussed that's, you know, why would anybody really care to read it on a gaming site if it doesn't relate in any way to what they're reading it for? So that's different, you know. But all I'm saying is this, is that, no, you can attribute it. I agree with you. But it's not unfair to say, to observe the situation and just say, well, here is what he was doing. We don't know. We're laying it out on the table. That's all. That's all.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody understands that this probably is not the only reason. That's it.
No, it's not the only reason. And it could be one of them. We don't know. That's what I'm saying.
And we'll never know. That's what
Which is the sad part. The saddest part of it is that we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's found in a culvert of a culvert.
We're going to hell. We're going to hell.
You're going to hell for that bike comment. Maybe I'm only going to the second circle.
Okay, I'll be below you, jabbing a stick up your ass.
Meanwhile,
all right.
whoa! Especially on the heels of how you opened the podcast last week. I don't want any sticks anywhere near my ass. Thank you very much, especially from you.
You edited that. That's your fault.
Did I? I have audio proof. No. And Al's not going to hell because Al stayed quiet. He was just like, yeah.
Yeah. NPC!
Yeah. All right, Al, because you're the Smash Brawl, you read this one.
So, the title of the article is a very small percentage of Super Smash Bros. Brawl discs are having issues.
SSBP.
Very, very small because I don't have a problem. And my friends don't have a problem, but one of my friends has a problem. So they say Nintendo fans in North America were
My friends
very...
don't have a problem, but my friend does.
I'm sorry, I really meant most of my friends and one of my friends. But anyhow.
I'm shitting on you.
Oh, my God. ew.
So it's a... Okay, go ahead, sorry.
Nintendo fans in North America were likely very happy this weekend, given that Super Smash Bros. Brawl finally came out swinging in the region at the end of last week. This is written by Emma Boyce, GamesPot UK.
Smash Brawl!
The game has been out in Japan since January 31st and has already broken the 1 million sales barrier.
Pikachu!
However, a few of those fans saw their joy turn to pain when they took their prized copy of the game home to find that instead of Mario vs. Princess Peach brawling, that sounds very kinky, they had a video equivalent of an out-of-skew crossbeam, a disc read error. According to Nintendo, this is because Super Smash Bros. Brawl uses a high-capacity double-layer disc. 9 gigs, bitch. In a statement on its official U.S. website, the company explains a very small percentage of consoles may have trouble consistently reading data off this large capacity disk if there's contamination of disk drive.
So it sounds more like a console issue instead of a disk issue.
Yeah, say that.
Interesting.
They should clean the lens using an official Nintendo product. Here it goes. Those suffering from such issues are asked to fill out a form online and then send the console off to Nintendo, which will clean the lens laser with its specialized cleaning equipment for free.
Well, at least it's free.
How about that marketing?
Well, it's free, so that's fine. Unlike the whole buy our Nintendo cleaner product. Don't use alcohol, even though we're made out of alcohol. At least they're giving it away for free. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gamers are not advised to attempt cleaning the lens themselves or to return the game to the shop to get another copy of the game. The former is likely to simply cause damage to the system, and the latter will not solve the problem since it's not the game that's causing
the issue. Right, it's not the game, it's the console. So, your friend who was having problems with this disc, has he had a problem with any other discs?
No.
Okay.
Throw on the disc!
And blow inside the disc slot. I must say that
we haven't had any problems from Nintendo before. What the fuck?
Well, I think it's because this is the first game to use a dual layer disc, but it's really evident in the loading because the loading sometimes takes a while. The initial load is a good 10 seconds. And then when you're loading levels, it's definitely a lot slower than Melee, but it's, you know, it's okay. It's doable. Like, Melee would take, like, maybe 1 or 2 seconds to load up the level once everybody's all started up.
Smash Bros!
Brawl will probably take about 3 to 5.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. one question I forgot to ask during the what you've been playing. How's the internet lag?
The game is made to constantly be in sync, so the game will freeze if somebody's lagging.
Okay.
Well, it'll freeze if somebody's lagging to a point. Like, for example, one of my friends, he had a really shitty internet connection, wireless. He wasn't, like, he was living in some place where his landlord had internet connection and the router and everything, so he couldn't directly troubleshoot.
Right.
Dude, so we would play. It's
Alaska.
And,
Alaska sucks. You know, they say they're a state. It's Alaska, but we don't even consider them. Just say it.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, I'm like, what's that doing? Anyway, so we would play, and as soon as the game would start, it would just be like a slideshow.
Oh, I see.
And then we were like, oh my god, this is horrible, blah, blah, blah. But then we played a three-player game, right? And it was me, the friend that had the bad internet, and other friend Dave, who came around to my Rockman party, also knows
him. Yeah.
As long as the other guy who had the bad internet connection did not move, everything was okay. Because as soon as he put in an input, it would cause syncing issues, and it would slow down the game or cause it to just stop because he was trying to catch up to me and him.
Interesting.
So at least it's not like, you know, somebody will have such a bad connection where the game like speeds up on them and they get their asses beat or they like stand still while people are shot at them. But then, like, when he disconnected because he was like, fuck it, I can't take this anymore.
Everything was smooth.
Yeah, everything was smooth, and it was a computer character controlling him.
Okay. Oh, so, okay. I remember about that. That's good, yeah. Okay.
So, but the internet performance, as long as everybody has a good internet connection, it's great. I played With Anyone, which is the open blind play where you just play against random people.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is that you enter a session,
mm-hmm.
and the other people enter the session, and you can continue playing. It's not like after you finish the game, you gotta go find some more people.
Right, you just keep on going and going.
So
and
you
going.
Just keep on going, choosing characters, choose stage, fight. Choose character, choose stage, fight. And then if people drop out, then it waits for someone else to join. And if someone doesn't join, then it just goes on with the number of people that's in there, and maybe put computer players in and things like that. So I was playing for like 45 minutes to an hour, just like random fun. Well, it wasn't random. It was the same three random people, except one would drop out like after 15 minutes, and another one would come
in. Right. Yeah.
And you got to, you know, develop rivalry with people, because it'd be like one person who always picks the same character, like one guy who always picks Sonic, and he, you know, you'd always hate it when the Smash Ball comes out. He gets it because you know everybody's gone and he wins. It's always a 2-minute match, so it's hard to catch up after something like that.
Right. Now.
So,
mm-hmm. I was going to say, I remember what I was going to say before we move on. I have to troll. How is the voice chat?
It needs it.
It needs it. So this is weird. WiiWare devs say that Xbox Live Arcade is, quote, full of shit. Now, this is from Kotaku. Reading the article, I don't know if this headline is actually accurate, but it's Kotaku, so what do you want from them?
Well, the article, the headline, is a quote from one of the guys. He's actually just talking about royalties.
Right, okay. So, for some reason I thought that it was a guy who was with Xbox Live Arcade and then shifted over.
Yeah, he's a dev.
The first time I read it, it sounded like, you know, the people behind WiiWare We're spitting on Xbox Live Arcade. I'm like, ooh, them fighting games.
Oh,
but that's not what it is. So here we go. Nintendo may just be getting around to circulating the word on WiiWare, its answer to XBLA and PlayStation Network games, but Develop says what? But Develop says the company has been, quote, keenly capitalizing on publicly aired frustrations with Xbox Live Arcade, end quote, to boost interest. Develop is a magazine name.
Oh, it is.
Why isn't it in quotes?
Because it's a magazine.
Because it's a magazine name.
One anonymous WiiWare convert has gone to the Nintendo side because, quote, frankly, we're not looking at making games for XBLA because the service is full of shit. Mm. And by, quote, shit, he or she means remakes of classic titles that feature prominently on XBLA like Tempest, Frogger, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yeah, that would suck.
As Yeah, well, yeah, they do, except for Tempest and Sonic the Hedgehog. So that just leaves poor
for
little
Tempest
Frogger.
And Frogger.
Frogger's full of shit.
That are good. You know?
As Develop points out, some XBLA publishers have aired their frustrations about being outsold by Retro Rehashes publicly. Oh, I see what they're saying here. I think what they're saying is that, like, hey, we're making these cool new games, these small games that we've made in our own studio, and yet people would rather buy Tempest. People would rather buy Sonic instead of our stuff.
Shooter.
Casualties.
Right.
Everyday shooter.
Right, but how many people are buying that versus, like, the old PlayStation games that people offer on PlayStation? Like, we don't know.
You
would, but, like, we don't know how many other people are. So they're saying – and also, like, Xbox Live Arcade doesn't have Everyday Shooter. This is actually talking about, like, trying to buy – one of those dual stick shooters over Frogger, you know, or over Time Pilot or something. But to that I have to say, what's to stop someone from buying, I don't know, volleyball on the Wii, on the Virtual Console versus your fucking game? So before you start talking about that, why don't you try to sell a game or two on the WiiWare first and see if that even sells before you even make this comment. Anyway, another anonymous WiiWare supporter echoed the frustration, saying that Live Arcade is, quote, clogged up with the retro titles that have blighted the chances of many independent studios, end quote. With the Xbox Live community games coming later this year, adding even more noise to XBLA, WiiWare, and maybe PlayStation Network by default, may look even more attractive to mid-sized developers.
Wait a minute. No, I mean, I read an article talking about royalties.
That wasn't this
it had
one.
The exact same article. I mean, title.
I think that was what we discussed that one though, right? Or was it after that article?
No, that was this week. That's weird. Let me see if I can find it. Keep going.
Yeah. While the Virtual Console is nothing but old school software, which is the same thing, but clearly a separate entity, and WiiWare isn't immune to things like Dr. Mario, it would seem that Nintendo might be in a good position to grab some of those Xbox 360s download, whatever. So they're complaining that people would rather, basically, like I said, people would rather download Frogger than their independent game. And I know that he's saying that, yes, Virtual Console is, quote, separate from WiiWare, but at the end of the day, it's the same box.
No, not only that.
It's the same box. It's the same dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's like, just because it's not on, you know, just
first
because...
of all, yeah,
go ahead.
It's competitive. You shouldn't shit on another company just because they're stealing your dollars, okay, with a product that may be the same or different, okay? That's their job. Secondly, nobody is going to buy, you know, a good game over Frogger. Nobody, you know, Frogger, everybody played, but if they have a better game, they're going to buy it.
Well, wait, I'm confused. Did you say nobody would buy a good game over Frogger?
Nobody wouldn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was like, are you kidding me? Don't tell me the world's come to this. I was like, no, that can't be possible.
Yeah, but not buy
a good game
over Frogger, okay? Frogger
stupid
is
people might.
Very, 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 very basic. I mean, like, you know. Move your handle.
Yeah, but I think the problem I think they might be seeing evidence that is happening, which is why they're raising this complaint, because like I'm pretty sure that they're privy to like the download numbers of and a lot of people seem to be downloading Frogger. Yeah, so and I think that's the problem is that Frogger markets itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's old. It's been around.
It's old and it's a frog.
I mean, everybody recognizes the things that work, pretty much. You know, Frogger was in the 80s. Goddamn, it works. You know, is there something else that you could give me that works better? I will buy it. Plain and simple.
Unfortunately, your brain does not. We would like to transplant our brains into the Xbox Live Arcade customers, but they obviously don't care for anything more than Frogger.
Well, that's dumb. But it's not for this person to shit on WiiWare or like you
XBLA.
Know the Wii. Yeah, it's not for them to shit on them. I mean, that's competition.
I mean, he can go ahead and make whatever comments he wants. He's just being stupid though, because he's moving to a platform where it's even more egregious, where they're pimping out retro games.
Uh-huh.
Like fucking again, volleyball.
I mean seriously, it's competition. Why are you upset? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, of course he's going to be upset if there's competition, you know? Nobody wants to have to compete, which is stupid because, I mean, that's the name of the game.
That's the nature of everything.
Right. But I think what I'm saying is I think the bigger thing, of course, is the fact that, like, you know, well, these things have all these retro games, and I want to go to a place that doesn't. Welcome to Nintendo, where we recycle our franchises over and over and over and over again. Welcome to Urban Champion.
So that's not a recycle. Well,
no, I'm just saying it's on the virtual console. So, yeah.
Even when it was made, it was recycled.
It's like the grass is always greener until you actually get there.
Actually, you know what?
No,
that was
chicken
also
butt.
On a card, I think. And was that on? That wasn't on Game Boy Classic, though, right?
I don't know. I didn't. Did you find the royalty thing?
It was the first line that they said that Nintendo is giving developers better royalties based on keenly capitalizing on open-aired frustrations from Microsoft.
Right. That was right. Now, here's another weird one. Mass Effect 2 is coming to PCs, even though Mass Effect 1 hasn't come yet. But the whole point is that they were talking about Mass Effect 2, and they let it slip in there that they were going to come to PC. So, here's what BioWare says. We haven't announced plans for timing on Mass Effect 2, period. So at this point, we're not really ready to talk about it. But because we've got a really great PC fan base, we think it's really important to deliver the PC experience quickly as possible. This comes from videogamer.com. Now, at first, I thought this was misleading. I thought that they had just jumped on this headline and just, you know, kind of, you know, ejaculated all over. Like, oh, my God! And said, oh, Mass Effect 2! Because the way they say it, it makes it seem like, yeah, we're not talking about Mass Effect 2 yet. But, you know, we have to work on getting Mass Effect 1 out for PC first before we even talk about Mass Effect 2. That's what it sounded like to me. And then they were like, oh, no, it's Mass Effect 2 for PC! And, like, all these, you know, everybody tried to make a headline. But then, you know, looking at it more, I mean, I guess maybe that's kind of like the Portal slip-up where it was like, yeah, I think he said there might be more Portal coming. Like, this is a kind of the same type of thing. Like, we haven't announced plans for timing on Mass Effect 2, period. But we've got a really great PC fan base, and I don't know, okay, so this is why it came up, so now I understand better. The opening paragraph of this article says, BioWare is yet to reveal any solid info on the highly anticipated Mass Effect 2, but with the PC game due in May, we quizzed BioWare senior manager Matt Atwood about the possibility of PC gamers getting hold of the sequel. So this article does its due diligence and directly says, okay, we asked them about Mass Effect 2. The person who sourced this article didn't. Knock, knock, it's a blog. Anyway, so yes, Mass Effect 2 coming out to PCs whenever it does. Who's getting Mass Effect 1 for PC?
Maybe me.
Maybe you?
I don't know. I haven't even gotten it for Xbox.
Not me. Not me.
No, I meant Mass Effect 1, not 2. Sorry, Al.
I know. I haven't even gotten that for Xbox.
But why would you bother to get it for Xbox if you were to get it for PC?
I don't know. I haven't chosen which console I'm going to get it for. That's what I mean.
Because the way you said it, you made it sound like, oh, I haven't even gotten it yet. I have to get that first, and then, yeah. But then you still have to upgrade your PC.
Yeah. My computer is really kind of feeling the effect of that overheat.
Oh, shit. Is it blipping and blooping?
No, it's just running Warcraft much slower than it used to.
If anybody would like to donate a cooling system to Al, you can reach
me. No, I have a cooling system. I just need a new computer now, because broken.
If anybody would like to donate a non-broken computer system to Al, please dial him at 1-800-AL and give him a new computer because he needs it. He will repay you in love, not cash because you don't deserve it, but love.
Big hugs everywhere.
Big hugs.
Who is that woman that did the whole thing on Mass Effect?
Oh, Cooper Lawrence.
Who names their daughter Cooper?
Cooper.
A milestone is going to be reached. The 360 is going to get its 1,000th game by this summer.
Yay!
This is, like, amazing to me. This thing has been out for barely 3 years.
Wow, how about that?
And it's getting its 1,000th game?
How about that?
Like, I remember, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm getting the numbers mixed up, but I feel
like... Are they
going
to have, like, strippers on a stage and, like, you know, Jerry Springer comes out and, like...
Oh, you brought Jerry Springer back? Oh, why?
That sounds like something Sega would have done.
Why even remind people that Springer exists, Sega or Take-Two?
But it's Sonic. I mean, Sega.
Or Gamecock or something.
Gamecock. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could be getting the numbers wrong, but I feel like back in the day, you know, doing the original PlayStation – well, not the original PlayStation, but, like, you know, the 16-bit days, for a console to get its 1,000th game, like, that just – that's amazing to me, unless they're talking also about – yeah, okay. Kotaku says it's a figure that includes both boxed and downloadable titles.
Mm-hmm.
So by that rate, the Wii should get its 1,000th game in you know, the same time frame, what with its, you know, multiple versions of volleyball and soccer and Urban Champion coming out and all that shit. So this is much less impressive now. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. Let's move on to something that's more exciting. Tor Thorsen from GameSpot, who is the voice of Nord, BioShock 2 revealed. In something that's surprising to everybody. But, you know, you knew it was coming, but they just didn't say anything about it. So, the game will be released during the fourth quarter of Take-Two's 2009 financial year. This means the game would arrive sometime between the 1st of August and October 31st, 2009. Let's see. So, as a BioShock fan, as someone who's completed the game, without giving away any spoilers, what would you like to see in 2? Would you like to see a continuation of the storyline? If that's possible. Actually, I shouldn't answer that. I shouldn't ask that because that could be a spoiler. But what would you like to see in BioShock 2?
Well, I would like to know where it's going to take place. Is it going to be in Rapture again or some other?
What would you like? Would you rather be in Rapture or would you rather be somewhere else?
Rapture was pretty decrepit. Let's see. Like, that city was on the verge of collapse. Maybe some other city that is totally finalized, no collapses, totally perfect, and fucked up.
so it's kind of, right. So like it hasn't gone to the shitter yet, but
exactly because okay. I don't think they could go. Actually, what would be great is if you start off in old Rapture, and everything's
when it's still thriving.
Yeah.
So a prequel of sorts.
It. Yeah, you have to escape it. Everything's collapsing. Everything's going to shit. And you finally get out of it only to go to the new Rapture.
Oh.
That's my idea.
Now, what about the gameplay mechanics? What would you like to see?
Well, as far as the, I guess the...
Would you like to see many changes at all, or would you just rather it just be in a new setting with a new story?
I would like the Big Daddies not to have a purpose. I would like the Big Daddies to be there just to stop you and be there in mass, depending on what level you get to. You know what I'm saying? They spread out.
So what is it about the purpose that you don't like? I'm just curious.
Well, they're protecting the little sister, right?
Little sister!
Exactly. And the Big Daddies should be there to either guard or prevent you from getting into a certain system. So
you basically don't want little sisters anymore?
Well, they use the little sisters to further the game.
Right.
I don't really think they need that. I think they need something to beat the Big Daddies. That's all. You know, not what the little sisters. Big Daddies don't need to protect anything. They're fucking Big Daddies. fuck them.
That's why they're using them as bodyguards, because they're Big Daddies.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the point. But, like, Big Daddy should guard something... Get bigger, you know what I'm saying? Because that's an epic battle. And you're going to have to get into epic battles in order to get to the next zone.
Oh, so you basically want more combat scenarios that are revolved around bigger things than just, like, harvesting animals.
Exactly. Big Daddies are... they're fucked up. I mean, like...
You sound traumatized.
God, you know, well, I've been through it, so that's what I would like. I would like the Big Daddies to try to...
Do other things.
In your progress. And if you... get to a point where you think you could progress further, Big Daddy, he'd let you know.
He'd let you know. Let's see.
You have 2 seconds to comply.
But here's my hall pass.
1 second.
Now, here's something from the GameSpot. Drop her. Here's something from the GameSpot news blog, Tom Magrino. This is particularly interesting. This is called Instant Action. The GameSpot news blog is called Sidebar. I'm not sure where you can access it from, but I believe it's just from the news page. So it says, Instant Action opens for beta, getting gamers to wrap their heads around the idea of web browser-based games that don't involve Flash or exploding penguins, which I love. has been a significant challenge for garage games. However, that is exactly what the Eugene, Oregon-based indie stalwart has set out to do with Instant Action, an online gaming portal that promises fully 3D, near-console quality games that are both easily accessible and quickly disseminated. Now, Garage Games is ready to let Instant Action speak for itself. The developer announced this week that the service has entered an open beta testing period. Currently, the service has four games on offer. Garage Games' own Marble Blast Online and Think Tanks, as well as Frozen Codebase's Screw Jumper and Wide Load Shorts' Cyclomite.
He said Cyclomite.
Cyclomite!
Not Screw Jumper or Wide Load. That's funny.
More games are slated to be added to the beta in coming weeks, including Fallen Empire Legions, a spiritual successor of sorts to Dynamics' revolutionary Star Siege Tribes. Interesting. As noted by Garage Games CEO Josh Williams in an interview with GameSpot, Instant Action is powered by the technology that enables developers' proprietary Torque engine or any other game engine to work in a web browser. In addition to high-quality gaming, the service offers a suite of usability features, including leaderboards, friends lists, and stat tracking, and gamers will be able to invite friends to join the games simply by passing on a URL link through email or an instant messenger service. So, I don't know if any of you guys remember, but a while back, Ethan was talking about digital distribution, and the premise of having all the processing take place on a central computer or on or central computers or servers, and all we see is the data coming at our screen. So when we move our mouse, our computer is not translating our mouse movements into game movements. Our computer is telling the server, I'm moving my mouse, and the server is doing all that calculation for it and just giving us the feedback. It feels like a pie in the sky thing for some people. But, you know, it's really intriguing when broadband speeds get that fast, like get really fast to the point where – and I don't know what the market penetration of Fios is yet. Do you know, Al?
What do you mean, the penetration? You mean the
like,
market?
Is it widespread?
It's non-sexual. That's what it means.
No, like, I didn't understand what you meant because –
I said market penetration. So
market
like,
penetration. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I think I might – Skype might have been stupid. So.
Yeah.
But do you know how many people are using it? Is it even affordable yet?
It's not really affordable,
okay.
But comparatively, I think that for what they offer and the market penetration, it's significant.
Okay. So, like, when speed – because I'm just curious because I'm thinking when speeds do get to that point where it's fast enough to deliver the version of what – the vision of what Ethan's talking about, like, this seems to be the precursor to that. This and stuff like PlayStation 3 Remote Play, how you can play Lair through your PSP, even though who would want to. Like, I think you can play some of the pixel junk downloadable games on the PS3 through your PSP remotely. So it's just transferring the data. The PS3 is doing all the work. The PSP is just showing you what's on the screen. And it's relaying that button press back to the PS3. So this is really interesting to me. I'd like to see how this works out in terms of like – because I don't know if you guys know. They're making a web-based version of Quake that apparently runs really well and looks graphically like Quake 3. And that's – go ahead.
Sick.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty sick.
And it's all running in a browser. So, and I've been hearing about this from other podcasts, and like, I really want to see how this works out. Like, do you, how far? How, I don't know. Just talk. Just discuss.
Knowing that a web browser is not really well at the present time, it's not really capable of much of that advanced stuff. I mean, it's good to see that you still have apps like Flash and. Java producing things in a web browser, but Java is just really slow all over anyway.
Right.
You still have, you know, things like C# running in web browsers and things like that, although C# is still kind of slow too compared to like C++. I find it very amazing that you could get a full-blown game, especially if it's not slow, to run in a web browser, and I would definitely like to see that. Even if it's just, you know, post-processing, all you see is what you're supposed to see as opposed to what your computer's doing.
Right. If it works, it works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is, and I'm really interested in this because for all the people who say PC gamer are dying, it's because of the hardware. If we get to a point where this eliminates the need to constantly upgrade our systems...
That's sick.
Then that it would be totally a sick. Total boon for PC gaming, you know. It's just amazing to me. Now, of course, I'll miss tinkering because again, a lot of the reason why I like PC gaming is because I like to, you know, play around with system configurations, and I like to experiment. You know, that's part of the fun for me, and
so
it's not
it
for everyone.
So it would be static? I don't know.
I honestly don't know. This is all in the future, but I'm just saying, like, if it came to a world where all the processing is done on the server side and your computer doesn't have to do anything but just show the image, you know, through the internet, you know, with that capacity, and I couldn't tinker anymore, I'd miss it, but I'd be all for it. You know, I'd be
it's
all
crazy.
For this.
No, it's crazy. I mean, like, what's your computer for then?
Right.
Why even upgrade it? I mean, if it's just going to run the same,
right?
What the hell? I mean, like, what have I been doing all my life?
What have I been doing with my entire life? Now, here's an interesting story that's been discussed over and over in the past couple of weeks and is now becoming hostile. EA, as people will know, has been interested in taking a big bite out of Take-Two Interactive, and more than just a big bite,
competition.
Dragging it into its garage, kicking and screaming. So Emma Boyes and Tor Thorsen contributed to this story on GameSpot. Back in February, Electronic Arts made a $2 billion offer for Take-Two, which Take-Two promptly turned down, stating that it didn't believe it was enough. Later in the month, Take-Two made it known that EA was not the only suitor it had, and also secured severance plans for its employees in the result of being taken over and downsized. However,
I believe the second part.
However, by the beginning of this week, well, let's see, let's follow the link and see who else is interested in Take-Two. Let's see. GameSpot says, by Brandon Sinclair, other companies have come calling. Activision Blizzard head Bobby Kotick said in his own company had looked at Take-Two Interactive as an acquisition target, but in the end decided it would not be a desirable business combination.
Nobody's there.
So
that's
they said
what
that
it comes down. Nobody's
so,
there.
Hold on. So this article says nothing. They basically said that, yeah, we got other people who want to buy us, and they don't see who. So
nobody there.
Like Tony said, it could be bullshit. Anyway, so they said, however, beginning of this week, some of the company's shareholders were getting restless. Two major stockholders ditched a percentage of their Take-Two stock, and one shareholder filed a lawsuit against the company for not exploring EA's offer. Everyone's been waiting to see what EA's next move would be. Would the company put together a higher offer on the table or attempt a hostile takeover? Today, the mega publisher has decided on the latter. Electronic Arts has now confirmed that it will be taking its offer directly to the shareholders of the Grand Theft Auto 4 and BioShock publisher at the same price it originally gave, $26 a share.
Two!
CEO John Riccitiello, whatever, says, "We believe Take-Two investors will see our tender offer as the best way to maximize the value of their investment in Take-Two. This tender offer provides a clear process to complete the proposed transaction."
What?
The tender offer is set to expire on the 11th of April. If successful, the acquisition would be the biggest prize in EA's recent buying spree, which saw it subsume such developers as BioWare Pandemic and Digital Illusions last year. DICE makes Battlefield, and BioWare makes the Star Wars KOTOR games, and Mass Effect and Pandemic does Mercenaries. And the update to this article is, several hours after EA's announcement, Take-Two issued a statement urging its shareholders to stand fast. The board of directors today recommended that Take-Two stockholders take no action at this time in response to the announcement by EA that it has made an unsolicited conditional tender offer to acquire all of Take-Two's outstanding shares of common stock for $22 per share. However, Take-Two also announced that it will give EA's offer a second look. Who needs a short explanation of how this hostile takeover works, like what it entails?
Well, I think our public needs a short explanation, and I'll give it. You ready?
Uh-oh. The Tony version.
EA! You! Take-Two! EA! Take-Two! I want you! You give!
Okay, so...
Take.
So... for all the non-high or drunk people out there, basically...
You.
Take-Two, shut up. Take-Two says, I mean, EA says to Take-Two, okay, look, we want to buy you guys for this amount of price. Take-Two says, fuck off, you know, suck my dick. So the hostile takeover part is EA goes, okay, you know what? You guys don't want to sell yourselves to us? Fine. We'll go to the people who own stock in your company and tell them, hey, look, we want to buy this company that you guys own shares in, but these guys, they don't want to sell themselves to us. So, hey, look, check this out. We told them that we'd buy them for $26 per share, and they don't want to do it. But right now, you guys who own shares in this company, it's, and I'm right now I'm going to make up a fictional number because I don't know what Take-Two's trading at right now. Mm. But right now you guys are $15 a share right now.
We're 26.
We're offering, you know, to buy you guys for $26. I mean, for every single share you own, you make $11. Now,
well, you're missing a point here.
Wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't you like that? Why isn't Take-Two budging on this? Aren't you, as a shareholder, mad that the company that you take stock in is not moving on this deal that can make you a lot of money? And then the shareholder goes, shit, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe we should force this, you know, thing to go through. But what were you saying, Tony?
You're kind of missing the point. They already know what exactly is going on here. They not only knew that EA wanted to buy them, but they secured severance plans.
No. That's not the point. What I'm saying, I'm just explaining what a hostile takeover is for those who don't know it.
I know that, but you know, when it comes down to the bottom barrel here, they know that they're in for some shit.
Of course they do. I'm saying that like the difference between what EA did first and then the hostile takeover. That's all I'm explaining is saying, okay, first you go to the company and say, hey, do you want to sell yourselves to us?
Mm-hmm.
And if the company says no, because it's a publicly owned company, because people own stock in Take-Two, and they theoretically have some measure of control, they have votes, like EA says, okay, you know what? Fuck you, Take-Two. We're going to take the offer itself. We're going to invite, you know, the people who own stock in your company to, like, you know, a nice dinner and drinks at a bar and maybe to a hooker house, a whorehouse, and say, hey, look, the company that you own doesn't want to sell itself, so now we're going to ask you, do you want to sell your shares to us for this amount of money? And then, you know, usually that's what basically the hostile part of it, because they're going over Take-Two's shoulders and going to their shareholders. So, and, okay, never mind. Yeah, Tony can explain what you said to Al again.
What?
No, that's okay. I don't need to go back to it. They secured severance plans because they're scared that it's going to work.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is going to work.
Yeah.
They know it.
Of course, EA is like, you know, the Hulk, and they're like adamant.
Yeah, and that's
not
like,
even the Hulk. It's fucking, you know, it's robber baron. Right. It's fucking railroad.
And that's why Take-Two was telling, you know, the stockholders, hey, slow down, just hold fast, just wait a second, just hold out for a little bit. We'll take a look at the offer, but just sleep on it. Don't do anything yet, please.
I envision Take-Two being out, like, by the end of the week, next week.
Yeah, now.
If the shareholders don't.
Yeah, now, here's the thing. What if the shareholders waited until Grand Theft Auto 4 came out and their shares skyrocketed? So there's another twist to the little puzzle, because
I think that's what they wanted to anticipate.
Right, exactly.
They wanted to buy them out before then.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly what I was getting at. Take-Two's like, look, Grand Theft Auto's coming out. Wait till it comes out. Let's see how it does. So,
no. Yeah, I mean, you know, EA wants the share. They want that fucking money because they know.
Once Grand Theft Auto come out, it's all EA money now.
But the other thing though, is that it comes out relatively soon, and I think from EA's perspective, first of all, of course they're going to have the franchise from then on, and they're going to make piles of money off of it. But that's why Take-Two is trying to stall them so that, and I don't know how long these things take, but I don't think there's a way that they can get this done before Grand Theft Auto 4 is out and in stores, and people already get it. So there's a small chance that when Grand Theft Auto 4 comes out, that the share price for Take-Two will rise. A small chance, of course. And I'm not a financial analyst, so I don't know this perfectly. But I'm just saying that there's a chance that happens. And then EA has to go back and reevaluate how much they want to pay for the company. Because let's say the share price rises to, like,
$27. It's going to.
After Grand Theft Auto comes out?
Yeah, it's
then,
on
like,
two platforms. There is no way, no fucking way, that after all this hype, this product is not going to sell.
Right, it's going to definitely sell. It's like it's a matter of like if the stock price rises to that point, like what do they have to go back and evaluate and all that shit, blah 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 blah. I actually also think that they want to get a grip on like complete their so-called monopoly on the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first they already did it with the NFL, but then they can kind of rub out NBA 2K.
Oh yeah,
NBA 2K if they wanted to, you know. Now, if they were in my opinion, if they were smart,
mm-hmm.
I would personally hope that if they do buy Take-Two, that they rub out EA, NBA Live and continue with 2K, or NBA Live becomes NBA 2K, because I cannot fucking stand NBA Live. Anyway,
well,
that's my problem.
I don't think so. Yeah,
they probably wouldn't do it.
No way. They will incorporate their style, because that's what they're buying the company.
That's what I'm saying. They should make NBA Live 2K. In other words, NBA Live, after they buy this company,
yeah,
is like,
they basically
take 2K and they slap the Live name on it. That would be okay. I would be okay with that, you know. But, yeah, any more remarks before we move on to the NPD numbers?
No, I'm done.
Al, you done?
What? Okay. I have nothing to say about that.
Moving on! February NPD numbers. PlayStation 3 outsells 360, but Nintendo wins. It's from Chris Kohler of Game Life. Smash Bros!
Numbers. Al, you have a comment?
Numbers for fanboys. Numbers for fanboys. Nintendo DS sold 587,600 units. Wii sold 400... What the hell is up with February? Wii sold 432,000 units. PS2 sold 351,000, almost
352.
And PS3 sold 280,000. That leaves the poor little Xbox 360 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th place, and the PSP in 6th place, really close behind. So I'm trying to think of what happened in February of last year, but it definitely wasn't this rich, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this – and I'm going to look it up. But while I look this up, 2000 NPD, the game sales, Call of Duty 4 is still sitting at the top of the heap, the 360 version.
Pretty good.
Devil May Cry 4 is at number 2, and mm-hmm. Wii Play is
Go, Wii Play!
Jesus Christ.
That's because I come home from work, I just want to play some stupid-ass fucking games.
Not even. It's because I just bought this Wii. I need another remote. Hey, this remote comes with a game.
Hey,
this
comes
one
with
doesn't.
A game.
Let's
hey,
go
let
get
me
the
buy
one
two of those
game.
Games so it comes with a remote.
So, let's see. Number four is Devil May Cry on the PS3, so Devil May Cry is doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Guitar Hero 3 is still doing really well. It's still doing really well on the Wii. It's number five. I don't see the other... Oh, I'm sorry. The PS2 Guitar Hero is still at number 9, so they're all in the top 10. And Rock Band is still in the top 10, which is good. And Turok.
Wow.
Okay. At number 8. Great. Thanks.
Wow.
Another
it's
generic...
It's not claim Turok, so it's not that bad, I guess.
What? No, it's gotten, nope. You know, feedback.
Yeah, of course. It's Turok.
It's average.
Exactly.
They got average. That's all.
And this is Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games is number 6 for the DS.
Oh, my
Thanks
God!
Thanks a lot. Thank
well,
you.
They already sold 5 million. So more.
Ugh.
5 million stupid-ass fucking dumb Oh, you...
Now, here's a good thing. Lost Odyssey, which is the second RPG to come out of the ex-Squaresoft King, is number 7. So at least those RPGs are doing pretty well in the US, which is good. 360 owners obviously want their Japanese RPGs. Now, I found the NPD numbers for last February, and they actually do kind of compare. I said that the DS sold 587,000 this year. They sold 485,000 last year. So, like, it's 100,000 off, but it's still a lot. The Wii sold 335,000, which, again, is about 100 off, but it's still a lot. The PS2 was still in third place last year. The PS3, on the other hand, was way down just above the GameCube. Poor little GameCube. So the PS3 has made strides in this year. I really hope this year does it for the PS3. I mean, I've been saying that last year was disappointing near the end, but this year, like, when even though I don't give a shit about Metal Gear Solid 4, when it comes out, I'm thinking that that's what, you know, just sets it off.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Case wide open.
Now, here's the best part of the podcast.
How?
Should Al buy this fucking sword?
I can't believe you have this in here.
The link.
It's important.
The link is www.weaponmasters.com/shopping/frostmourne, spelled FROSTMOURNE. Again, that URL is www.weaponmasters.com/shopping/frostmourne, spelled FROSTMOURNE. And it's a picture on the site. There's a nice picture of this. Let me read the description. Frostmourne replica is second to none in detailed craftsmanship and technology. A 47-inch overall length with a 28-inch stainless steel blade, genuine leather-wrapped grip, limited edition sword, embedded with patented G2G authenticity microchip.
Also included, they know where you are.
Also included in the box with Frostmourne knee, collector's display mount, limited edition poster, certificate of authenticity, Game 2 Gear handheld authenticity reader, all yours for only $379 instead of buying a gun for your home protection. Mm-hmm. Should Al buy this? Send us
not
email.
Not for home protection.
Send us email.
Listen. Here's the deal.
Listen. Right.
This is my thoughts when I first saw this sword.
Yeah, go
fuck
first.
You, man. Fuck you. Fuck you.
What was that?
All right. No, fuck you.
Let it talk.
I looked at the sword and I'm like, okay. First off, in the lore of Warcraft, this is like sword that shut up. Fuck all of you.
Sorry.
Fuck you, people who are laughing and listening too. Now, in the lore of the story,
fuck you, Joe.
This is the sword that basically caused this game to happen. It's basically, it's a sword that is on an island out in the boonies, the cold ass Arctic boonies.
Oh, isn't that special?
You know what? Sorry. Shut the fuck up and let me talk.
Let him talk. Let him talk.
All right. And now. The old man Arthas from Warcraft 3, he went fucking nuts and...
Nucking futs.
I'm going to fucking nucking throw some action on Saturday, okay?
Yes! It's going down. Continue.
All right, so he went nuts because of the whole undead thing, and dudes started talking to him in his head, fucking Ner'zhul in the throne, which is a ghost of an orc who is a demon, and all this other shit. I'm not even going there. But basically, he had to go to Northrend, which is the island in the boonies I was talking about.
Can I interrupt for a second and support you as my friend? Anybody out there who's laughing at him, and even though I laugh at him, anybody who's there laughing at him who's staring at their Master Chief helmet that's sitting on top of the Xbox 360, shut the fuck up right now. Anyway,
no,
go on.
No, you just generalized. No, Master Chief is laughable, but this is priceless. Go on, Al.
I don't understand how this is priceless, but keep going. To keep going, he goes and he gets this sword with his massive crusade and finally becomes, completely turned over to the dark side, quote unquote. It's almost like as if they were selling, like, you know, for a Star Wars fan, if mm-hmm. they were selling, if this was actually a real thing, you know, lightsabers, you know, and they only sold like 500 of them. Anyway, it's something that is very important to the story of the series and something that looks pretty fucking cool if you look at the pictures in and
of
itself.
Yeah, it does look good. It does.
So now, I was thinking, okay, $379. I was thinking the sword was going to be like $1,999.
No. You know,
$2,000.
No way.
No CODs.
Yeah, not three easy payments of $1,999. I mean, like, almost $2,000 because it's handiwork, you know. It's something that people have constructed, and it's limited edition. So I'm thinking there's probably only going to be, like, a couple of thousand of these made.
Yep.
And there's also going to be an auction for
Bolivia.
The first...
Yeah.
What?
What?
What'd you say?
I said handmade in Bolivia. Maybe.
Something like that. Maybe.
Bolivia.
No, I think... I
in
don't
Taiwan.
Know where... But regardless...
Get my people on it.
Regardless... There's also a limited auction for like the first 100 or something
right.
like that, and it's like $425 to get in, and then there's an auction for
it's
above that
$425. Offer, sure.
So anyhow,
how do you attract you? Yeah, go for it. Go.
Well, anyway, shut the fuck up, Tony.
Wait, I'm here.
No, shut up.
Let him talk.
So now, after purchasing the thing, of mm-hmm. course, you're purchasing a limited edition artifact from a game that has 10 million subscribers and has right. cultural appeal.
Absolutely.
Hold on to that motherfucker, mint condition, for at least 10 years or so, maybe even 20. Maybe, you know, depending. Of course, this is where the pros and cons come in. You know, the pro is if the game holds its cultural appeal and is still a feature of culture and life, or something that's even a good memory, mad years down the line, that becomes something that was worth a lot of money.
Can I read my comment on your blog?
Yes, you can, because your comment on the blog
is exactly
what I'm going to say.
Okay. This is what I said. He says, you can't play Crysis on it. You can't play WoW on it. You can't watch Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles on it. You can't listen to Raining Blood on it. You can't eat it. You can't poop into it and flush it. You can't brush your teeth with it safely. You can't pay rent with it right now, but keep reading. You can't make babies with it, and using it to induce a baby-making mood could be seen as assault. You also can't watch drunk history on it on YouTube. For $379, there's no reason you should buy that over an 8800 GT and a Core 2 Duo. However, you just might be able to sell it off for thousands to some collector a few years or decades from now. So while I was making fun of him with this whole thing, the entire point is that you're going to be a rich motherfucker if you hold on to this and if this thing pans out. So get that coin out and flip it.
Well, I'm not the one who'd be flipping the coin. That's the thing. Because what if something happened?
What if?
And, you know, although, yes, now World of Warcraft has big cultural appeal. It had, what's his fucking name? No, that was something completely different. Sorry.
Robin Williams.
No. you have a lot of, like, Kurt celebrities Schilling? Apparently
Kurt
playing.
Schilling. Kurt Schilling
no.
does.
What?
Kurt Schilling does.
Oh, you're
think.
Talking about.
I think Kurt Schilling is.
Oh, I'm sorry, the baseball player.
Yeah, my mother.
I think he and Robin Williams do.
Yeah, my mother.
At the very least.
Huh?
There's your endorsement. My mother. There you go.
All right. Oh, shit. Go on, Al.
All right. So, anyway, if it doesn't maintain its cultural appeal and something overtakes it, and it's not something that is, like, structured and, like, cemented into our society for years and years to come. You know, like Star Wars is.
Yeah.
You know, Star Wars is something that's been over for, well, now it's been over for a couple of years, but before it was over for like 20 years. And things from there granted people a lot of money. You have Marvel Comics, which back then, you know, those things are much more important than the comics are today.
Right.
Those things were worth a bunch of money. And you have little things like little baseball cards and shit like that. You know, having a little collectible item from this video game is something that could possibly be worth a lot of money, as well as the World of Warcraft the card game. You got those cards selling for like $200-$300 and stuff like that. That
coins?
Game just came out last year.
All right.
You collect coins?
No.
Do you know why coins are, you know, collectors?
Because they're made of precious material.
Not only that, if you want to get really, really valuable coins, they got to be wrapped. They got to be minted. They got to be protected in something. Unless this thing is protected, I don't think you should buy it.
Well, obviously, when you get it, it's going to have the mount. You'd have to buy, like, a display case for it, which I'm pretty sure is not that expensive. It's just glass.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's
could be more pricey than you think. Not expensive, but it would be pricey.
Yeah, it's going to be an add-on. Yeah.
Right. But
make sure they wrap
that
shit up with bubble wrap and saran wrap and more bubble wrap and like aluminum foil.
And then galvanize it
with like mummified steel.
I bought swords in the past. Well, not me. My friends did. And
I have this friend.
My friend.
I don't know why, but like, you know, if I use this in battle, will the hilt stay on?
Why would we be using this in
battle? Home protection!
That immediately destroys the value of the item.
Of course, but the whole thing is you have to have it sturdy. So, unless they wrap it when you order it and make sure it's protected, I don't think you should.
Well, obviously. I mean, when have you ever bought something from a reputable company that was in non-reputable condition?
Reputable Blizzard. Nope.
It's Blizzard.
You don't think Blizzard is reputable?
Okay, no.
Okay, then that's your problem. Anyway, we need to
move it
go on to something that I can take a part in before I have to leave.
Yes.
Fuck you, Tony.
Whatever.
You notice how that rhymes with fuck Sony. Well, listen. Listen, it's not about the truth hurting or anything. It's about the fact that I was interested in something, but now because I have people discussing it as opposed to, you know, people giving up valid points. Well, it sounds like it.
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, if you're gonna order it, make sure it's protected. That's it.
Yeah. No shit. I'm not gonna order. I'm not gonna order this.
Captain Obvious.
Don't order the glass case after. Make sure it comes in a glass sealed vacuum case. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm probably not gonna order it in the first place, but it
well,
was
that's
just
what I'm saying. Okay, that ends the conversation. Boom.
Okay. So then
you know, just for that, you should order it. Just for that, you should order it. And I trust Blizzard to send shit in good condition, so.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
You just said you didn't.
I do, because, you know, that's why they have expansions.
What?
Huh?
Huh?
No sense making. Let's move on.
Expansions?
Move on. Move on. Move on. We're here at the mailbag, and I'm going to establish a rule here because this got gloated, bloated. I really love emails. I really do. However, if you're going to send an email, please don't send us, like, 5 or 6 questions in the email. Send a maximum of 2, please. Because I don't want to have to go back and say, okay, well, I'm going to answer these 2 this week and then answer these 2 next week, and I'll have to save this. I'm sorry. I'm lazy. I'm not going to keep track of all that shit. So just send 2 at a time and keep it in your head. I'll do this indulgences one last time, but I have to go to work soon, so, I mean, this maybe I won't even get through it. So, stop sending 20 questions at a freaking time! Okay.
Yeah.
So, first one from Digimatrix. If there's one game or game sequel you'd stand in line for, what would it be? I don't even want to answer this because I don't know. You guys can answer it while I look at the other questions.
I don't really stand online, like, for games, like, to the point that he might be discussing. Like, I'll go online for any game that I can get early.
Smash Bros!
Or a game that's limited in supply, like Rock Band, Guitar Hero.
Kingdom Hearts
3? Can you stay online with Kingdom Hearts?
So, Tony's saying Kingdom Hearts 3, okay. So, Al, nothing for you, really?
Not really. I mean, it's generally anything that I'm interested in that I could get before anybody else can, that I don't have to do too much abnormal waiting for, and sure. Right. Like, if I got to wait on a line for 20 minutes, oh my God.
Right.
Expansion packs? Downloads?
Wait on line for downloads.
So here's,
that's
here's,
a little easier to do.
Here's another question from him that shows that he has obviously not played Rock Band. Hey, Austin, why not expert for vocals on Rock Band? You said hard medium in the last episode. Can't be that hard, right? Yes, it can.
Yes, it can.
Have you heard
most of those people? Digi,
it's just words. You need to know the inflections, right?
Not just the words, but Digi, have you played it? Have you tried expert? Do you know how pitch perfect you need to be in order to succeed? You can't even warble like professional singers do because you have to stay on pitch. So, no. It is that hard. So, yeah. Here's another question involving sequels. Why not just always buy the sequel to a game? That's what I was thinking when checking out StarCraft 2 footage. My friend says StarCraft 1 had an excellent campaign, so I might want to check it out. But the point of his question, I believe, is why bother with the first game when you can always have the second game?
Right.
My answer is because the second game isn't always that good, period.
That's true.
Devil May Cry 2!
other than that,
Ninja Gaiden 3.
Command & Conquer. The new one.
There are some... Yeah. There are some games that, yes, you should just jump straight to the sequel, and there are other games that you shouldn't. So, no, you shouldn't always just buy the sequel to a game. It never always happens that the second one is better than the first.
Metroid Prime 2.
Manhunt 2. And, yeah, I'll agree with Metroid Prime 2, even though I like it. The first one is just...
Super Mario Brothers 2.
Super Mario 2.
What? No way!
Zelda 2.
Zelda
2. Zelda
2, I'll agree with. Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask. Oh, yeah, Majora's Mask.
I'm just saying that those are great games. It's just that they're different than the games that came before them to a point. Although Majora's Mask, it's just a different concept.
It depends on what you want to expect.
Right. And the other thing is, like, let's take the Warcraft example, since you brought up StarCraft. Warcraft 3 is different enough from Warcraft 2 that some people, maybe they don't like the heroes in Warcraft 3. Maybe they don't like the way that the things are built out in Warcraft 3. Maybe they just want to play 2. Maybe the only I know you don't like it. Whatever. Maybe they only want two races. Maybe they don't want five. So I mean, it's not just a you can't just do a mathematical if this then yes, if later version then buy. No, it doesn't work that way. So okay, and this is his reasoning though, which is fair. It's more refined than the previous, and this I think he's talking about StarCraft too. It's more refined than the previous games and probably fixes all the issues of the previous games. Of course, if there's a progression through the series, then obviously you'll be a little lost. But aside from story, why play the previous flawed games purposefully? I haven't fleshed out an argument just to hear your awesome opinions. That's right, we have awesome opinions, and we just relayed them. The argument that you give here is a fair one, but that's only if the games really are improved. They're not always improved. I mean, it doesn't always happen that way. There's some conceits of there's some little things about games that you like in one thing that you don't like in the sequel. Like I'm sure like some people have complained about Halo 2 not having the assault rifle. It's a small thing, but they like that assault rifle. You know, it's not and you know story aside, it's not just about jumping into things.
Familiarity.
Familiarity. And then you get into something like burnout, okay? Some people, maybe for some reason, they don't like traffic checking. People think this is an improvement. Maybe it's not for some people. So they'd rather go back to Burnout 3, which had no traffic checking, that made you wreck if you hit a car. So, I mean, yeah, it's not always refined. It's not a rule that they – it should be a rule, but it's not. Sometimes they mess things up. So, I mean, there you go. Let's move on to Aiden Bonham. I'm starting to think it's Bonahim, but maybe not. Aiden, please let us know how to pronounce your last name. Just listening to the end of episode 83, and you think that games aren't that much more expensive in Australia than over there. First of all, before we even get into this, that's wrong. I never said that. And I don't think Al or Tony ever said that either. If you would do us a solid and find the clip in which we actually said, we don't think Australian games are that much more expensive than American games, please feel free to quote it and let us know. I don't think we ever said that. Now, to throw you a bone here, you give us prices, and for the rest of the audience, here are the prices for a new console game. $110 to $120 Australian dollars, which translate to about $100 bucks in the United States to $110. A new PC game goes $90 to $100 Australian dollars, which corresponds to $85 to $95 bucks in the U.S. Xbox 360s go between $470 and $560 U.S. dollars. I'm just going to go straight to the U.S. dollars now. PlayStation 3s, wow! PlayStation 3s go between $840 and $935 U.S. dollars. Wii's go for about $370 U.S. dollars. A 360 controller goes for $75 U.S. dollars. A Wii remote goes for $65 U.S. dollars. A Sux Axis goes for $75 U.S. dollars. And a GeForce 8800 GT, man, you guys got the short end of the stick here.
Yeah, no
goes
shit.
For $560 U.S. dollars. We get them shits for $200 here. Man.
Hey, guys, I just have to say, you're in Australia. You have the most dangerous fucking things in Australia. Any animal over there can kill you. You should get things cheaper.
Maybe that's why it costs so much.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
man, I ain't delivering that shit over there.
So, fucking ants that could kill people. Come on, give them a bone.
Though, I will still say this. When McDove last week said that he feels that he has to spend $200 every year to upgrade his PC, Australian on average, my statement about here's where I think Aiden got a little confused. Mm-hmm. I said that you could probably spend a little bit more, and this is key, the little bit more part, which he has a contention with. I said that in the context of you could probably spend a little bit more than you would over the lifetime of a console upgrading your PC, which means to say that if you spent $500 on a PlayStation 3 or $400 on a PlayStation 3, you could spend $400 on any combination of video cards and processors and memory to make your PC last for about 4 to 5 years with the games that you play, given that you don't have to play them at the very highest settings at the entire time. If you want to play at the highest settings, they're better than consoles, so you have to pay a premium, obviously. But if you want to play, like, and that's what I said, that you spend a little bit more, not US versus Australia, console versus PC, that's what I'm talking about. So to echo McDove's statement of, like, you know, I'd probably spend more on the console. Well, no. Let's take a look at the GeForce 8800 GT, which is $560 U.S. dollars, which is a clusterfuck. He's saying right here that Xbox 360s in Australia the high end is 560. So there you go. You know, you buy a 360 or you buy a GeForce. It's not that cut and dry, and it's definitely going to be more expensive in Australia. Now that I see how outrageous this card is, I mean, what could you get for 560 here, dude? Something like that's – I don't even want to know. Something that doesn't even fit in your case. But let's see. So he says, sorry if that sounds a little rant-like, but this subject and myself – this is a subject that myself and many other Aussie gamers are very pissed about, which isn't to say that our European buddies get it much better, because they don't, which is true. Another thing is you mentioned playing your podcast on AudioSurf. You wouldn't be able to. Why not? I could just edit it down to 20 minutes. And also, 1UP editors have done it in the past. So, but there's a 20-minute limit on the song in AudioSurf, so, but that's not a problem. You just crop it. So what?
Yeah, it's fun. And it's a fun ride.
It's a fun ride. So, yeah, it's all across the world. Shit's crazy. I mean, in Brazil, I don't even think they have a very good import market. They bootleg all their shit. So, like, I was talking to Edu Buccaneer, and he has to, like, he has to pay about $80 to $90 American for Mass Effect, which isn't as bad as 100, which is in Australia. But, you know, that's a lot of money. And then I think... I'm not sure if he has to pay taxes on top of that. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's just crazy around the world that they have things like this. And Japan and America is mainly where the prices are stable. So, yeah, I don't know.
And that's Japan and America is primarily
are the primary markets, right, right.
And that's when you got to know that this is the game to buy. I mean, like, you don't want no shit game.
Right, exactly. You have to do your research. But, Al, I know you're running short on time. Do you have time for one of these questions from Supersonic, or do you need to get out of here?
I would need to go.
Okay. Supersonic, you got Pont. You'll be saved till next week. And the next time any of you guys send questions, please don't send, like, five.
You know, you sent... well, never mind. Like I said, looking at the list, I see 1, 2, 3, 5, but you managed to cut out 4.
That's because I cut out 4, 6, yeah. and 7.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, please. This is not all. I'm not trying to, you know, just shit on you, Supersonic. I'm fucking with you. But seriously, yeah. You're not the only one that does this, so don't worry. It's nothing personal. Like, somebody else whose questions we answered just above, Digimatrix, did the same thing. Once a week, just send us your mail. We love it. But, like, we need to keep things organized. Just send two at a time, please.
And not only that, listen to us and just give feedback.
Yes. I forgot to print for feedback. Please go to the iTunes music store. You can find us at trygames.net in the store search. Give us feedback. Tell us how shitty we are or how awesome we are.
Exactly.
Just be honest with it. And don't be an asshole about it, but be honest. And please, just give us feedback. Give the Game Slaves Radio folks feedback. You can find them on iTunes as well, Game Slaves Radio or www.gameslaves.net. Give them feedback. To this date, the only review I see is mine.
Oh, that's bad.
They're doing decent jobs. Go up there and give them some feedback. Go listen to them again on Game Slaves Radio or Gameslaves.net. And I believe that's it for the housekeeping. Is there anything that you want to promote, Al?
I want to promote these ads.
Like your sword?
I want to promote these
ads.
Oh,
yes. Yes, that's right.
This shit is hilarious.
Aiden sent us some. What are these eBay ads?
They're eBay protection ads, like
God.
Safe shopping ads. And like the first one he sent, it says, "I've done it with people from all over the world, women and men." It's like some old dude in the picture. "But I always use protection. Practice safe shopping. Use protection.
Use protection."
The second one is a little funnier. "I've done it with over 90 people. It's some old Asian lady, and I've never old been Asian. Disappointed." "But I always use protection. Practice safe shopping." And then the third one, which is kind of raunchy, "Two women. We don't care what they look like. We'll do it with almost anyone. But we use protection. Practice safe shopping. Use protection."
That's great. Thank you, Aiden, for that. And sorry we made you think that we think that Australian games aren't that much more expensive. We know they are. We feel your pain. Every time we try to import something from Japan that we want, and we see that like a DS game that should cost $20 is $50.
That's right.
Outrageous.
And your country has a lot of hurtful animals. What the hell's going on over there?
Has a lot of what?
Hurtful animals.
Oh, hurtful. You're hurtful, hurting me. So yes, that's it. For the working man, Alfred.
I'm out. Peace.
For the working man, Tony.
I am working?
Yeah, don't you have a job now?
Well, yeah, I do. Wow.
There you go. There you go. I have been your host, Chupon Austin, Mr. Thank You, Australian Gamers, for living and making us feel better about ourselves because we have cheaper games. I'm just kidding. Okay, we're gone.
Fuck you people who are laughing and listening to.
Fuck you people who are laughing and listening to. Penis, penis.